You know, God has something special in store for us, you know, as we're continuing to seek God this new year of 2024, what he has for us. Hopefully you've named your year. You know, mine is time to soar in 24. And the topic we're going to look at today is the idea that we're not a mistake. We are not a mistake. You know, a lot of times people go through life and for whatever reason, their identity has been cursed. And they carry that burden, you know, through their whole life. But I believe Jesus came to set us free, and that's what we're here about today. I found out it's hard to soar like an eagle when you feel like a turkey, right? Especially a butterball, you know what I mean? You know, sometimes, you know, you feel like a butterball and hard to get off the ground. See, our outward image is important in the world, but our inner self-image is important in the kingdom of God because that's how we start to move and to attain things. And, you know, how we see ourselves in life is how we negotiate our way through life. And life is sometimes can be long, right? And if you're not going through life with a good self-image, then it's a problem because if we have a bad self-image, you know, we're going to have a bad life. That's the way it is. And you say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because I know. Believe me, I know. I know personally what it means to start out maybe with a bad self-image on how that affects our interactions with the world and the people around us and then what it's like to be free. So we're going to look today first at Judges chapter 6, verse 11 to 16. We're going to look at the story of Gideon. And it says, then the angel of the Lord, starting in verse 11, it says, then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon, who was beating out wheat in the wine press in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Then Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? And he said to him, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. But the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Lord, we thank you for a special stirring in each of our hearts, Lord, that we know that you have more for us. Lord, we know that we are called to rise above our circumstances and our situations. Lord, we're not to bow our knee to the devil or anything that he brings in our life. And Lord, right now I just thank you so much for a special stirring today. Lord, that you just draw us closer to you. Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we see here a little story about Gideon. Many of you probably heard of him. It's quite a long thing. You can, read this a little bit about some of the things that went on in his life. We're going to primarily stay with this part, at least for the Gideon part. But as God sent an angel to speak to him, the first words out of Gideon's mouth was, why has this happened to us? And where is the God of miracles in my situation? You know, he knew that he was living well below what God said in his word. You know, they heard the stories, and maybe you've heard stories, you know, about what God has done in the Bible. But where is that now? Where is that in my life right now? Why are things happening the way that they are? And Gideon was looking at things, so it must have been weighing on him because that was the first thing that came out of his mouth. And you can kind of tell what's going on in your heart when you go through a problem or have a bad time. What's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? You know, maybe have your friend write that down for you. You know what I mean? Or video you. And that's really going to tell you really what's going on in there. You know, so we need to kind of get that stuff kind of straightened out and find out what we can do to kind of turn our situation around. Two key statements that the Lord said to Gideon is that the Lord is with you and the Lord has sent you. See, when God sends us, God goes with us. And we need to remember that. When God sends us, God goes with us. And God was going to turn this whole situation around, but before that could happen, God had to change the way that Gideon saw himself, the way that Gideon interacted with the world around him. And see, maybe we're in that place today where is the God of miracles? You know, these things are going on in my life, and I'm having a hard time here, and I can't figure it out, Lord. But yet our image, our self-image is what some of the things that's holding us back. So we're going to start off today looking at the call of Gideon. You know, why was things happening the way they were? Now, to be honest, there's two reasons. The first one is that, you know, sometimes Satan attacks us because we are so salty or into the things of God that we just draw attacks. And that's a good way to be attacked. See, if the devil considers you a threat, he's going to try to attack you. But the other thing is the fact that sometimes we open the door. And that's what happened to the children of Israel here. As we know all through the book of Judges, if you've read through that, and I encourage you to read that, it's just amazing. The fact that God sends a deliverer in their life and they get all fired up about Jesus, you know what I'm saying? And they start following God. I know Jesus wasn't there, but you know what I'm saying. But and then all of a sudden, then after a while, they kind of lose the head of steam, and then they go off into sin and they start chasing after other things. Well, then God gives them over to their sins, and that's what happened here today. Sin had opened the door for calamity in their life, and it'll do the same for us. If we allow sin to rule and dominate our life, then things happen. So what was going on here is that Israel had sinned against God by chasing after false gods. Because a lot of the false gods back in this day, this was an agriculture community. So they had to be able to grow food to be able to survive. And so sometimes they would pray to these fertility gods so that they would have a good harvest. Instead of standing with the true God, the true and living God, they would chase after the gods that were around them. And sometimes what would happen is that the children of Israel would interact with the people around them. They would get into the worldliness of the people that surrounded them, and some of that would rub off on them. Have you ever noticed that sometimes the people we hang around with kind of rubs off on us a little bit? You know, it happens, doesn't it? Hopefully, it's supposed to go the other way. But I've noticed in my life, sometimes weeds grow a lot better than fruit, right? You know, because of the curse of Adam, that's how that worked. So what happened here, after they started chasing after other gods, is that the Lord stopped protecting them because it opened the door for them to be put into the hands of Midian for 7 years. Now, that's a long time, isn't it? You know, some of us have had some bad days, right? But how would you like to have 7 bad years? You know, 7 bad years was going on. And with that, you know, what happened is that then Israel went and they started living in caves to kind of hide out because Midian was coming in. They were, the Bible says they come in like locusts and they would take their food. And that's kind of what we're going to look at here a little bit. But so they're living in caves, and sometimes we hide in the dark instead of living in the light. And maybe that's you today. You know, maybe you've had enough bad things happen in your life that it's hard to believe for good things. It's hard to believe that something good is going to happen in your life. You know, maybe you've been in a situation now for a while, but I want to tell you today that we serve a God that can turn that around.
Amen.
You know, like the old saying, turn that frown upside down, amen? You know, we can turn this thing around. I mean, if we just don't give up, just keep fighting that good fight of faith. And see, Midian, what they would do, see, the children of Israel, they would sow. Many of you probably have grown a garden before or different things, maybe did some things. But, you know, how would you like to grow your garden? You go out there and you're tilling the soil and you're planting the seeds and you're dealing with the weeds and all these different things. And for months, you're just tending to these fruits. Then all of a sudden, somebody comes in and takes them. You know, a lot of people have that with their sweet corn, don't they? You know, they grow that sweet corn, and just about the time it's ready to eat, the coons come in and eat it. And they'll just clean out the whole patch in one night. But that's what was happening here. Midian was coming in like locusts, and they would come in, and after Israel done all the work and grown the food, they would come in and take it. Now, I don't know about you, there was no supermarkets or anything to go to get food, because if you didn't have what you would grow, then it was very difficult to survive. And that's what was happening here. For 7 years, they were going through these problems where the things that they were trying to get to survive was being taken away from them. See, Israel was sowing, but someone else was reaping, and that's a bad thing to have, because what happened is that they was in a cycle of failure. And you know, how many know that things cycle in our life sometimes? You know, we go through these cycles. You know, just like the ocean. The ocean goes in, the ocean goes out. And sometimes in our life, we go through that ebb and flow of the tide of what's going on. And sometimes when we're at low tide, it's usually because we've done some things in our life that has opened the door to take that away. But good news is, we serve a God that forgives. Amen. You know, the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know, maybe you have sin in your life today. Maybe you've done some things you're not proud of. Maybe you're ashamed of them. And you think that's your identity now. But I'm going to tell you, that's not your identity. You know, there's power that's in the name of Jesus, and there's power in the blood of Jesus to be able to give you a fresh start and to be able to take that away from you so you can walk in the freedom of God. And that's what happened with Israel here. Finally, after 7 years, they started to cry out to God. God, I need you. God, I can't do this on my own. And this is where we pick up that story of Gideon, because, you know, the cycle of failure, what it does, it causes people to operate their lives differently. When we go through those things, we're not as adventurous. You know, when we're living in lack all the time, you know, you're not as apt to maybe share or give. You know, but how do we kill that cycle? Well, the Bible says law of sowing and reaping. You got to sow to reap. But if you're in fear, you don't want to sow. So what happens then is you just broke the cycle right there. You know, we're not going to reap because we're not sowing. So we got to try to turn that around, because fear of lack can replace faith for provision if we let it. And that's where a lot of times we get in life. That fear of lack, you know, operates and dominates in our thinking, and it takes away from our faith where it says that we have faith for provision. You know, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, right? You know, but we get in that situation where we've had that cycle of lack, and, you know, things aren't going the way that we want them to. You know, maybe we feel alone and isolated. Maybe we feel our friends have turned on us. You know, maybe we don't feel there's anybody helping us or working on in our life. Maybe we feel that God is too busy for us. All these things kind of come in. They come in like a flood in that cycle, and that's why we got to replace that. Now, what happened here, Gideon was doing the best he could, and sometimes we just do the best we can, right? So Gideon, what he did is he went out and got a little bit of wheat, and then they're supposed to beat out the wheat out on a hill so the chaff kind of blows away and you got your grain left. But what he was doing, he took that wheat and he was hiding in the wine press so nobody could see him. And he was down there, and he was just beating out a little bit of that wheat so he could maybe feed himself and maybe feed his family so they could survive. And that's kind of the situation he was in. At least he was doing something. You know what I mean? You know, even though he was in fear, and then he was afraid, and he was kind of hiding a little bit. I mean, everybody else was probably still in the cave. But at least he come out of the cave for a little bit and tried to help himself. And see, we can't just roll over and play dead, people. You know, a lot of times, you know, we get so beat up that we just roll over and play dead, and we just want to stay in bed and pull the covers over our head, you know, and say, I'm not going on anymore. But see, God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to fight that good fight of faith. So he was afraid of getting caught, but then all of a sudden he's in there doing this work, and all of a sudden God sent an angel. An angel came and talked to him. So I'm sure that was kind of cool. But anyway, you know, Gideon, what the angel told him some things, it was just kind of amazing. Said that God was with him, and, you know, God had sent him, and he was going to be a great deliverer. And Gideon did not have a clue. You know what I mean? That wasn't even on the radar. I don't know about you. Have God ever said something to you or led you into a certain thing and that was never on your radar, all of a sudden now, God says, whoa, open your eyes to something, something new, something fantastic. Because Israel needed a deliverer. And what had happened then is that, you know, it kind of changed the way that Gideon was starting to assess information around him. You know, sometimes we need to look at it in a new light. And the first to do that, Gideon had to get over himself. Because Gideon felt like a nobody. I don't know if you ever felt, I felt like a nobody before. I know what that's like when you feel like a nobody. See, he was the youngest nobody in a family of nobodies. So what good can come from a nobody? Well, God doesn't see us that way. God sees us as a somebody. If you're here today, you're a somebody. Amen. How many is a somebody today? I'm somebody. I'm not nobody. I'm somebody. You know? That's what God sees, you know? And, you know, Gideon probably felt, because I know some of the things I've thought went through my mind in the early days, is that Gideon felt like God made a mistake because he felt like a mistake. You know, and that's a bad place to be when you feel like a mistake. You know, how many know that, heard the old saying, maybe it's been spoken over to you. You know, I've maybe inadvertently said this to somebody. You're a mistake waiting to happen. Right? I mean, it's just calamity follows you everywhere. And that's kind of what this was like. And, you know, when you feel like a mistake, you know, that's when all of a sudden you've allowed the enemy to put an imprint in your mind. And you can look in the mirror and there might be somebody beautiful or strong looking you back, but you can't see that. All you see is the imperfection. All you can see is your fault, the things that's wrong. And that's I'm not saying that's a normal condition, but it is a condition that does happen. And we may come here today with a smile plastered all over our face. But if we look in the mirror, we're not smiling. Because we don't feel like we can do it. We feel like we're a mistake. You know, we've had words maybe spoken over you as a kid. You know, words of death instead of words of life. And those things have made an imprint and they've formed you in a certain way. But I got good news, we're going to break those today. God wants us to be free. And so we don't want that cycle of failure to drag us down. We don't want us to put us in bondage and hold us away from the things that God has for us, because God wants us to see ourselves differently. That's the greatest, one of the greatest revelations I received in the Bible, is that all of a sudden the Bible explained to me what I was supposed to look like. You know, I'd let the world control me and control my thinking and tell me what I looked like compared to them. But God wanted me to look into the Word and see what I look like, because I was created in the image of God. And that Jesus Christ is living inside of me. And He wants me to see myself in a different way. And if we do that, we start to walk in victory. I don't know about you, but God does not make mistakes. You know, if somebody tells you you're a mistake, you just straighten them out right now. I'm not a mistake because God made me, and God does not make mistakes. God never makes a mistake. See, a matter of fact, the first opening line, God told Gideon there, He says, hey, valiant warrior. I mean, Gideon probably looked around. Is there somebody down here with me? You know? I don't see that. I'm not a valiant warrior. I'm down here a warrior. I'm down here afraid. You know, I'm making sure nobody sees me so I don't get beat up. See, valiant means heroic, courageous, and brave. See, that, but that's what God could see. See, God can see our potential when we can't. And so who are we going to believe? We're going to believe what God says? Or we're going to believe what we think we believe? I would say I would go with God. See, God could see Gideon's potential even when Gideon could not see it in himself. And see, that's what we need to understand. You know, God can see our potential. And inside each and every one of us, God has put a plan. And that plan is important. And that plan is something that's so great and glorious that we can't maybe comprehend it yet. But if we could just step out in faith and stop holding on to those old lies and those old pains and those things that hold us back and stop letting people put labels on us, but let God put a label on us, then we can start to walk in that freedom. Because I found out that many times our actions do not line up with our potential. You know, I know many times, and still today, I am living below my potential. I know that God has more. There's more. You know, I just got to go after it. There's more there. You know, I could be pretty content where I'm at right now. Or I could know that, hey, I know God has a little bit more for me. You know, I want that. I'm not greedy. I just want what's mine. I just want to do what God wants for my life. You know, one of the prayers that I pray all the time is I pray that God increase my competence so that you can increase my capacity. You know, help me to understand more so I can do more. It's just, you know, freedom's just a revelation away, people. Just a revelation away. Most of the great things in the kingdom of God are just one revelation away, where we start to get a revelation from God so that He changes our life. So to do that, you know, we need to change our focus. You know, a saying is, I am not a mistake. I may make mistakes, but I'm not a mistake. Let's say that together. I am not a mistake. I may make mistakes, but I am not a mistake. And you need to see that for yourself. You know, God said in a promissory, He said, I will be with you. And sometimes we forget the fact that we are not alone in this journey. This journey of life that you and I go through, we serve an amazing God. You know, I don't understand how it all works totally all the time. The fact that God wants to come and live in our hearts, and He wants to, you know, us to glorify Him with our life and what all that entails. And I know there's other things we got to do. You know, we just can't, you know, tune out everything, all responsibilities. But, you know, I think one of the things that we need to learn is how we can take God into our responsibilities, how we can take God into all of our situations, you know, in our jobs and all these things. And that's just going to take a little bit of time of trying to learn how to applicate the things of God in our life. So, but one valid question there is, you know, where are the miracles of old? To me, it's okay to look back for inspiration, but we need to look ahead for opportunity. You know, I remember hearing about the good old days. You know, I got saved when I was 24, back in around 1983, give or take, around in that area. You know, I got saved, and some of the dear old saints, they would talk about the good old days, you know, how God was moving and He was healing and all these different things. And then here we are in the 80s, and it just didn't seem like stuff was really happening, you know what I mean? You know, we'd talk about it, didn't see it. But see, you just got to know that there's power and promise. We just got to hang in there. You know, I don't serve Jesus because He's going to give me a miracle. I serve Jesus because He's Jesus. Amen. You know what I mean? You know, I serve Jesus because He's Jesus. You know, He's the Son of God, and He rose from the dead, and He paid my price. And, you know, and we just have to understand, like Gideon understood, that God said, I have sent you. You are sent by God. Now, to prove that a little bit, Jeremiah 1:5, I want to read this. And this scripture really impacted me early in my journey with God. You know, I've personally had two visions of the Lord that I remember as a kid, and they were impactful. You know, some of the things that was revealed to me, and I won't go into all that today. Some of it's kind of personal just for me. But it says in Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. So we see here how God knew us in the womb, and God's plan that He has for our life and the things that God wants us to do. Nobody is an accident. We're all born for a reason. You know, whatever that reason is. Now, my reason isn't maybe the same as Billy Graham's was. You know what I'm saying? So we think if we're not like Billy Graham and go out and touch millions of people with the gospel, then my purpose isn't very important. But that's a lie from the devil. You know, we all have a purpose, whatever that is. The only thing we can do is walk in the center of God's will for my life. You know, God's not going to compare me to other people. God's going to compare me to what I do with what he's called me to do. All we have to do is what he's called us to do. Whatever that is, just walk in obedience to that. And we need to understand, and that's my next point, is the idea that we need to see that we're born with purpose. We're not an accident. You know, maybe, you know, people in your life has told you that you're an accident. You know, that you really have no reason for being here. You know, I've heard some terrible stories as a pastor, you know, what some of the things that have been spoken over young people, you know, in their life and when they're young, and how those things have affected them and in their relationships in the future. But, you know, even maybe you weren't planned by mom and dad, God's had a plan for you. Amen. God has a plan for you. Psalms 139, 13 and 14, it says, "For you were formed, you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." See, we need to know that. That God planned us and he formed us in the womb, and that he has a miraculous plan for each of our lives. You know, one thing we have to understand is the fact that, you know, we're in the right place at the right time. We're here for a reason at this time. And see, God has set you apart to bring himself glory. And that's what we're here to do, to give glory to God. We're not here to get a building named after our name. You know, a lot of people say, "I want to do this great thing and have a hospital named after me," or all these different things. You know, we're here to bring glory to God. And we're not here by chance, but God has put us here on purpose. And our life is not to be a random act, but an intentional purpose. So we need to find out our reason why. We need to find out what we're here to do and what God's called us to do, and just start to walk in that. You know, we're not a mistake. We may make mistakes, but we're not a mistake. We need to understand that concept and the things that, you know, God has separated us from the world. Now, when I was serving the devil, and I wasn't doing it outwardly in some sense, but I didn't mean to, but I wasn't living for God. I was living for myself. And see, when I was doing that, you know, I tried to do everything that the world had to offer, and I made a lot of mistakes, you know what I mean? And big mistakes. And sometimes I would identify with those mistakes, thinking that's who I am. I am this now. Why? Because I do this. So that must be who I am. But see, that's the way the world wants to frame us. See, it's trying to make us conform to the world. But the Bible says we need to be transformed. And we need to break that mold. And see, you know, our identity is not in our actions, but our identity is in Christ. See, our identity is not the fact of how good a Christian we are. It doesn't matter how good a Christian you are. What matters is the fact that we see that our identity is in Christ. That, you know, once we've become a Christian, we've given our life to him. See, and there's a growth process, and there's things that you and I go through, you know, and remember, it's go through, right? We don't live there, right? Sometimes we go through things, but we don't stay in those things. Right. But those things sometimes, if we pay attention long enough, it's going to build some character inside of us. How many is a character here today? You know, I've been told I'm a character. You know, back in the old days. And, you know, but I do know that as we go through things, you know, it can build our character up so that we understand and that our identity is in Christ. And, you know, I know this, that, you know, maybe today we might feel that our world is falling apart. And it can get like that sometimes. But when everything in our world seems to be falling apart, the things of God are falling right into place. And we need to understand that. God's got this. God's in control. All we need to do is walk in obedience to that. I don't understand exactly what tomorrow. I know a few things are going to happen tomorrow just because it's Monday, right? I know about Mondays. How many know about Mondays every now and then? You know? So I know some things are going to happen. But I do know this. I don't know everything that's going to happen tomorrow. But I need to trust that my Heavenly Father, you know, I've placed my life in his hands. And I believe that he's going to watch over me. Amen. And he's going to bring me to the place. Why? Because I want him to. I want him to. I have surrendered to him. I've thrown in the towel. I've tried it my way. And my way is like the highway. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's not good. God's way is better than my way. So we're not a mistake. And our identity is not in our actions, but our identity is in Christ. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, 26, it says, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and their boundaries of their habitation." See, it's our appointed time. I want us to stress this a little bit more. Here's a scripture that points that. And Apostle Paul was talking here a little bit, trying to get people to understand that. Our appointed time. Now, I have come and reconciled myself that I'm here at the right time. You know, years ago, I didn't think so. I didn't think I was here at the right time. I thought I was born about 30 years too late, because my version of Christianity is a little bit different than Christianity today. I'm old school, holiness. You know, that's my flow. You know, I don't like to have to be an entertainer. You know, but Christianity, some of us turned into that a little bit, and that's not really my vibe that I do. But God had to correct me and tell me, you are here at my time. This is the time you're here. This is the time I have appointed for you. And I need to basically just suck it up. You know what I mean? Deal with it. I just got to deal with it and get my head on straight. Because God, we only see a portion, but God sees the whole. He knows exactly everything that needs to be done. The last passage I believe I want to look at today is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. The Bible says that we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. See, we were recreated for good works. We were recreated for good works. We're born in sin. That's why we need to be recreated. You know, we'd be born again. And so, to me, we're born again with a purpose. So, you know, I thought I knew what I wanted, but then when I got born again, God kind of changed things a little bit. Rearranged things a little bit, if you know what I'm saying. And He brought me to a place, you know, where I could understand, you know, things in a little bit different, because, you know, as I was regenerated, I used to be a degenerate. You know what I'm saying? I was a degenerate, but I've been regenerated. I've been made alive again. You know, and that new life is pulsating inside of me. And to me, God's purpose for our life is a reason to live. You know, why else would we want anything down here? There's nothing this world has to offer that can compare to the great and mighty things that our Lord Jesus Christ can offer us through that relationship. We chase after so many things that we can't take with us. The only thing we can take is our relationship with God. And so I think and I believe that we all need a reason. Make Jesus your reason. We need to make Jesus your reason. And He'll never leave you or forsake you. You know, He'll never run out when everybody else is. He'll run in. When everybody else in your life has run out on you, Jesus will run in. And we need to make Him our reason that we do things. See, we're not a mistake. I want us to see today that we're a masterpiece. You know, it's talking about, now, as you know, my artisanship is equal to my clapping ability. You know what I mean? I cannot draw. I can hardly write. You know, that's why, you know, I can't type very fast either, but at least I can read it after I have it down, you know. You know, but there's some people, I know Troy can and different ones can, they can just take something and draw it or make it, and it's just amazing. Just amazing. You know, and I can't do that. I did get one blue ribbon in seventh grade, I think, for art, but I did trace it. I ain't gonna lie to you. I traced this dog, and then I painted it in, and I got a blue ribbon. Teacher said, "Did a great job." I said, yeah, it was good. Did my best. Yeah. But see, I don't have that, but God does. God can make a masterpiece out of us, because the word workmanship there in the Greek is talking about a masterpiece. You know, some of them, that fancy art, you know, that people can do, it's just amazing the things that they can pull off. But see, We're a one-of-a-kind, original, created for a purpose. You may have found this out already, but there's nobody like you. Right? There's nobody like you. You're unique. And God has made you a one-of-a-kind. Just like there's no two snowflakes that are the same. Now, I don't know how they prove that, but they keep saying it, don't they? Well, there's nobody just like you. Maybe somebody kind of similar, but you're unique, and that God has a plan for your life. And so our purpose is to do good works. That's what God's called us to do. And when we do good works, what happens is glorify God. Now, the good works is not works righteousness, but it's works that's empowered by the grace of God. We start to walk in God's grace, and we start to do those things, and we start to see God glorified through us. And we need to walk in those things. See, we just can't talk it out. We need to walk it out. You know, a lot of people, you know, I know the biggest mistakes I've ever made in marriage is that I've thought something and never told my wife. You know, I thought she had a good outfit on today, but I never told her. No credit. No credit. Has any of your men never got credit for something you thought? You know, but I should have said it, but I didn't say it. You know, so we have to walk it out and be able to see it. So I found in my life that God can't guide us unless we're moving. And one thing that I've found out is the majority of people who are waiting on God usually find out that God's waiting on them. So what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Is it scary to surrender our life to God? To walk away from the world and to say, Lord Jesus, take control of my life? It may be a little bit, but it's the best step you're ever going to make is when we surrender to God, because we need to always remember, hopefully you just hold on to one thing today, hopefully more than that, but we are not a mistake. We may make mistakes, but we're not a mistake. Never let anybody identify you that way. Just tune them out. And look what God says in His Word about you. Who God says you are. And there's hundreds, if not more, of who I am in Christ. What has Jesus done in your life? You know, those are so important and powerful that we get those. But, you know, we don't get them by chance. We have to get them on purpose. We have to get into the Word a little bit. Yes. And I'll be honest, advertising for small groups, you need to get into a small group and hang around other Christians. Because we start to emulate who we hang around. And as we get together and do some things, we let the Word start to change our life. And then things start to happen. And once it's kind of the snowball effect, and things get going better and better and better and better. Oh, there's going to be attacks along the way, but that's okay. That means I'm doing something right. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's pray.